Good morning. Let me go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 12. I'll be looking at the call of Abram this morning. Kind of been studying through Genesis a little bit, and just there's some things that stuck out to me when reading that this first part, this call of Abram and his obedience, how Abraham is well known for his obedience to the Lord, that his obedience was counted to him as righteousness, and how well he obeyed the Lord and followed the Lord, and how great his faith was. And so, as we last time I looked at Noah, and then and the flood, and then after that we see that the earth begins to grow again, and there's the Tower of Babel, and the Lord confuses them. He changes their languages, so they have to go and spread out through the earth as he told them to. And then in chapter 11 we have kind of a genealogy, and then we see Abraham in chapter 12. So I'll go ahead and read Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions, and they gathered and that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan, and Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And we'll stop there for now. So you see, the Lord speaks to Abram, and he tells him to get out of his country, from his away from his family and from his father's house. And we see that's what Abraham does. But turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Something that I found interesting. I didn't discover this myself, but I learned this in Mark Beebe's Bible study. So Acts chapter 7, Stephen is speaking to the Sanhedrin and debating with them. And we see in chapter 6, it says that he is full of the Holy Spirit and power. And so he's speaking to the Sanhedrin, and Acts chapter 7 and verse 2. And he said, "Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, 'Get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you.' Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. So we see a little bit different than what it looks like in chapter 12. That in chapter 12 of Genesis, it looks like that when Abram is in Haran, that the Lord speaks to him and tells him to get out of that land and to go to a land that he will show him. And so if we look back at chapter 11, and we'll just start in verse 26. Now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no children. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And then in chapter 12, now the Lord had said to Abram, as we just read, so as I think, where did he get that? How did he know that the Lord spoke to Abram when he was in his native land instead of when he was in Haran? And he studied his Bible very well. If we look close, it doesn't really make sense that Abram would have been in Haran, because the Lord says to get out of his country, from his father's house, and from his family. And so it would make more sense just reading that if he was in his native land when the Lord spoke to him. But if we look close at chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram. And oftentimes the Bible doesn't always put things in chronological order. And so this section of chapter 12, I guess, would belong in chapter 11, right in front of verse 31. So the Lord spoke to Abram while he was in the land of Ur in Mesopotamia. And now we see that Stephen, who is full of the Holy Spirit, and he saw this, and that word that the Lord had said to Abram, and saw that the Lord spoke to him when he was in his native land. And it's just an encouragement to me to study our Bibles very closely and to read it slow, as Dr. Jeff would say, that we read our Bibles too fast, that if we pay attention to every little word, because the Lord has put it in there for a reason, we'll see things like this, that Abraham didn't immediately obey the Lord, as it seems that he waited and went with his father to Haran instead of getting out of his father's house and following the Lord. And so it was just interesting to me that just how that one little word can change things, and how Stephen pointed that out in his sermon as he's speaking to the Sanhedrin there. So we should be careful as we study our Bibles and pay close attention to what we're reading. And so in chapter 11, now I don't really know how it all worked out, but if I imagine that the Lord spoke to Abram and told him to get out of his country, and then maybe Abram spoke to his father and his family and kind of told him what the Lord had said. But we see in verse 31 that Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot and the rest of his family, and he went and set out for the land of Canaan. And so I see God's calling for us is personal, and Abram let Terah kind of take the lead instead of, but God had called Abram. He hadn't called Terah to leave, but we see that Abram kind of, he didn't really take the lead in following the Lord, but we see he kind of followed in the shadow of Terah and his father instead of going himself. This resulted in wasting time in Haran and spending a lot of time there until his father died. We see that they came to Haran and they dwelt there. It says in the end of verse 31 that they dwelt there. They didn't, it wasn't kind of just a short stopping to take a rest or anything, but they dwelt there. They dwelt long enough to gather lots of possessions and people to themselves, as they see in verse 5 of chapter 12, that when they do leave from Haran, that they, that Abram and took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. And so you see they wasted quite a bit of time there, that instead of following the Lord and going to the land that he would show them. And so we, when we, sometimes when we share what God has called us personally to do with others, they, people try, kind of do it for us to try and help us or lead us, doing things to help us and doing it for us, but God hasn't called others to do it for us. He's called us personally to go and do those things. And so we see that God's call is personal, and it's not that others can't help us in any way. It's just we shouldn't sit on the side and leave to others to do what God has called us to do. And we see that Abram let his father hold him back from the calling of God and from obedience to God, and therefore he was held back from the promises and the blessings of God because he followed his father and he waited and stayed in Haran instead of going to the land of Canaan as the Lord had called him to do, and to that land that he would show him and the inheritance that he would give him. And so he wasted, I guess I could have done the math, but I didn't do the math of how long he stayed there. But he wasted several years there in Haran until his father died. And so a point that we could make is don't leave to others what God has called you to do. Abram left to kind of to his father what God had called him to do, and God has called each, God called Abram specifically for a reason. He calls different people to different things specifically for a reason. And then obey every part of the calling of God for you. Abram didn't obey completely what God had told him to do, and the fact that he didn't get out of his father's house, he didn't get away from his family as God had called him to do, but he took his family with him. He went with his father. We see that they set out to the land of Canaan. He was taking his father with him and his family, but the Lord had told him to get out of his country and from his father's house and away from his family. And I think, as we'll look at in a little bit, there Abram has kind of some repercussions because of this. But we'll look at that in a little bit. And so when God calls us to do something, we should obey Him completely. I'm not saying that God calls us and speaks to us and tells us to go do some specific thing as He told Abram, but God has put us, each and every one of us, in the where we are for a reason. He has us in the job we work or where the area that we live and the time that we live in. He's placed us here on this earth where we are for a specific reason, and we have a calling to fulfill. We have where to share the gospel with the world around us and to share His love with others, to be ambassadors for Christ. And so we have a calling to fulfill. There's in the New Testament, it speaks of our calling quite often. And so the Lord has put us here for that reason, to be ambassadors for Him and to share the gospel and to live for Him. And so we should do that in the jobs that He has given us and in the area of life that the time that we're in, and everything that we find, every situation and circumstance we find ourselves in, we are to serve and to honor and glorify Him in it. So we see that Abram left the country that he came out from was the land of Ur and Mesopotamia, and we see that he came out and he lived in a tent. I was thinking about what kind of country that Abram came from. I get pretty interested in archaeology and history and that kind of stuff, but so I was kind of looking up the land of Ur, and it's the land of Babylon, is that area. It's the same area where the Tower of Babel was, and it was a very wealthy land. I've often thought of kind of Abraham coming out of like a little tribe with teepees and tents or whatever. They seem like he might not have changed too much, but actually he came out of a well-sophisticated city that was a very wealthy city, and archaeologists have found tombs of kings and people with golden weapons and instruments in their tombs, and they've dug and found city houses, two-story houses that people lived in for, they claim they date back to about the time of Abraham. And so there was, they were not like, well, primitive cavemen, as we might often think. I think evolution has had a very strong influence on how we think about as the our beginnings of man, how man used to be. I guess with kids' books, we often see the even biblical books of accounts in the Bible, they have people with like fur on them and fur clothes and throwing rocks and stuff, kind of primitive people, but they actually were very intelligent and was able to were very smart builders. They some of the buildings they found was very interesting. Their architecture was pretty amazing. That they found one building didn't have a straight line in it. It was all like a concave walls, and they designed it to pull your eye to where they wanted it to go. A lot of the temples, they would have the walls where it would naturally draw your eye to the god or the altar that they had in the center. So they weren't a bunch of cavemen, but they had a very well-sophisticated city, and they lived in houses, and probably a lot more likely would, probably a lot closer to how we live today than we would think. They might not have had iPhones and computers and stuff, but I mean, they were, I think they lived a comfortable life in their houses. And so that is what Abram was called out of. That's the land that he was called from. And I don't know, I mean, if he was wealthy, what kind of area, if he lived in a house or what. I mean, he seems like he was a farmer since he had lots of sheep and cattle. And we know when he came out of Haran that he had lots of possessions and that he took with him. And it says when he comes back out of Egypt that he is a wealthy man. So, but kind of see what the Lord called Abram out of his comfort of his home. So the point is that he didn't, like, he had to change his lifestyle to follow the calling of the Lord. He didn't live in a tent all his life. I don't think, I imagine he probably lived in a house and in the land of Ur, and that in a very wealthy and well advanced city, and that he came out, and we see in chapter 12 in verse 8 that when he comes into the land, and it says he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel. And so I was thinking about how Abram, he pitched his tent. He lived in a tent in the land of Canaan, in the land that God told him he would give him as an inheritance. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in a land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then jump down to verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had come to mind, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And then look back at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 4. Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. And God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on. But even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for a possession and to his descendants after him. And so we see that God promised this land to Abraham as in as his inheritance, but he didn't own any, he didn't, the Lord didn't give it to any of them as his possession, but he lived in it as a stranger and a sojourner in the land. He dwelt in a tent all his life in the land of Canaan. He set aside those comforts that he had and lived in a tent and dwelt as a sojourner in the land of Canaan, because he was looking to a city that was whose foundation, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God, and the only land that I believe that Abram owned was land that he bought to bury Sarai in. So Sarah, the only land that he bought was for burial. It wasn't to live on, wasn't to prosper on, but it was to bury dead bodies on. So he didn't, he wasn't trying to make himself a life and a home, but he was looking forward to a city that God, that God had made, looking forward to that spiritual kingdom. And so don't be nearsighted. Don't focus on things of this world that don't last, but focus on eternity. Look ahead to what is coming. If we are focused on what's here and now, we're going to try to build our life for here and now. But if we're looking ahead to what is coming, then we won't be as concerned about our life here, because we know we're looking ahead and we know what is coming is so much better. As the Lord said in Matthew, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And so that another thing too that I kind of pulled from this was, don't get too comfortable. I know we all love to hear that, but because we love to be comfortable, but we don't want to get too comfortable in our life here. If we are focused on our lives here, we'll want to make ourselves comfortable, because we want to make things easy for ourselves, and so we start working to make our life in this earth comfortable. But we are strangers and sojourners on this earth. We are ambassadors for Christ and citizens in the kingdom of God. They wouldn't, people who are traveling to somewhere, they don't spend a lot of time to make their travels to make it super comfortable and enjoyable when they're trying to get somewhere, because they're focused on where they're trying to get, and they're not going to waste the time to make it such a easy, to make their lives so easy while they're traveling, when they're looking ahead at what they will, at their destination, because they want that to be where they enjoy their comfort and take their ease. They're working towards that. They're not going to waste the time to, you know, you go stay in the hotel. You're not going to decorate it with pictures and try to personalize it and do all these things, because you're going to leave the next day. So why would you waste the time and the money? And our life is the same way. You know, we're here for a breath. We're here one day and gone the next. Last like the flower of the grass that's just gone. Our lives are nothing in the light of eternity. So why would we waste our time here to try to make ourselves so at home in a land that's really not our home? Why would we try to make it feel like our home instead of looking ahead to the to our true home, to the kingdom of God? And so if we make ourselves comfortable, we get complacent and lazy, and then we're not much value to being used of the Lord, because he will take us out of our comfort zone. The Lord always takes us out of our comfort zone so that we are trusting in him and relying on him. If Abraham was too worried about being comfortable and making his home, too attached to his home in the land of Ur, I don't think he would have been so inclined to leave as the Lord had told him to. And so if we get to make this, get too comfortable here and making this our home, we're not going to be too inclined, if the Lord calls us to go somewhere else to serve Him or to do something that takes us out of our comfort zone. And so we should be looking ahead to what is in front of us. If we look at this world, we're going to get discouraged pretty fast as we see it's getting more and more sinful, and the god of this world is Satan, who's ruling over it, and he is turning it away from the Lord. And so if we're trying to make this our home and we are focused on this, we're going to be discouraged, and we're not going to have a lot of joy, because as we get all uptight and upset when things happen, as our country is falling apart. And if we're making this our home, we're not going to enjoy that and have much joy. But if we're looking ahead to what the Lord has for us, to our inheritance that He has promised us, then we can be a joyful people, because it's much easier to suffer when we know that peace is coming versus suffering and having no hope. We have that hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to be looking ahead to the kingdom of God, and not spending our time on this earth, but preparing for the kingdom of God and working for the Lord, serving Him. We got a little bit of time, so we'll look at the rest of chapter 12, and I'm not going to read all of it. But in chapter 10, we see there's a famine in the land, and Abram goes down to Egypt. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And we know that during this time that Abram told Sarah, his wife, to say that she was his sister, because he was afraid, she was very beautiful, and he was afraid that the people would kill him so that they could take her as his wife, as their own wife. And so he said to say that she was his sister, but she was his half-sister. But he told her that, and then we see that Pharaoh takes her because she's very beautiful, and the Lord puts a plague on them because of Sarah, and so that Pharaoh gives her back to Abram. But what I want to focus on is the famine and what Abram did, that he went down to Egypt. We see the first thing is it says that Abram went down to Egypt, and when times are hard, we don't want to go down. That's not ever a good thing, but we should be looking up and drawing closer to the Lord instead of going down. And we see that he went down to Egypt, and as we know, Egypt is a picture of the world, and so we don't want to have a habit of going down and turning to the world. And we see that Abram went down and dwelt in Egypt because of the land, and we definitely don't want to dwell in the world and things of the world. There's times we might fall and occupy ourselves with the things of the world, but we definitely don't want to dwell there. We want to turn to the Lord and look to Him for our peace and comfort. And so dwelling in the world will get us in trouble, as we saw with Abram, that it got him in a little bit of trouble with Pharaoh. It worked out for him, but I'm sure it wasn't too enjoyable at the time. And so we see that he went down to Egypt. But the other thing is we see that there is a famine in the land, but it almost seems as though there was kind of a drought in Abram's life, as that seems as though the Lord wasn't really speaking with him or giving him much. We see in verse 7 that when Abram comes into Shechem, that the Lord appeared to him and said, "To your descendants I will give this land," and that's all the Lord says to him. He builds an altar to the Lord, and then we see in verse 8 that he moves to a valley between Bethel and Ai, and there he builds an altar and calls on the name of the Lord. So we see there's not an answer. The Lord doesn't speak to him. The Lord doesn't tell him anything. And then they go through Egypt, and they leave after Pharaoh takes his wife, and then the Lord plagues him and he gives her back. Pharaoh sends them out of Egypt, and they go back. And chapter 13, verse 3, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. We see again that the Lord doesn't tell him anything. The Lord doesn't speak to him. And we see that it's not until that Lot separates from him that the Lord really speaks to him and confirms his promise. In verse 5 of chapter 13, because Lot and Abraham have so many possessions that their herdsmen are starting to quarrel, and so Abram doesn't want there to be a division between them, so he says it's best for them to separate. And Lot goes to the plain of Jordan, and then as soon as Lot leaves and goes towards the plain of Jordan, we see, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. And I was thinking about that. You know, I would think that the Lord would have told him that when he first came into the land. Why didn't the Lord tell him that at first, instead of saying, "To this land I will give your descendants," and that's all he said? And, you know, the Lord told Abram to get out of his father's house, from his family, and to go to a land that he would show him. But we see that Abram took his family with him, and then it's not till his family leaves, that Lot leaves, that the Lord speaks to him in that way. And I was just wondering, maybe it was because he wasn't in complete obedience to the Lord. He still had took his family with him. And then once he had separated from him, then the Lord spoke to him. I'm not going to say that for sure, but that's kind of what it looks like. So if we're not in complete obedience to the Lord, he often gives us things, lays on our heart things for us to do, and it's not until we do that thing that he gives us the next step in moving forward. And it seems to be that way with Abram, that he is kind of in a drought, and he goes down to Egypt instead of turning to the Lord. So we don't want to go to Egypt. We don't want to turn to the world, especially in a season of a spiritual drought. We want to turn and call on the name of the Lord and obey him and is what he has given us, as it says in James, draw near to him and he will draw near to you. But we see some of the dangers of Egypt in the world here as well, as Abram loses his nephew Lot, as Lot leaves his heart in Egypt, in chapter 13, when they separate. In verse 10 it says, and Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Zoar. And so it reminded him of Egypt, and that's where he wanted to go. I see that also, as Egypt is a dangerous place to go and dwell. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, the Lord is telling them, when they set kings over themselves, that the kings are not to make the people go back to Egypt, and they're not to go to Egypt to multiply horses. And why would the Lord tell them this? And it was because he didn't want the men leaving their hearts in Egypt. He didn't want the Israelites leaving their hearts in Egypt and wanting to go back and dwell in Egypt and turning away from the Lord. And so we see that Abraham, he left his inheritance that the Lord had promised him, and he went to Egypt in the time of drought, and it didn't turn out too well for him. And so we don't want to, in times of drought or hard times, we don't want to leave the inheritance that the Lord has given us and turn to the world. But we want to turn to the Lord. And if we're not in obeying the Lord, that he has given us, the commands that he has given us, then sometimes we will kind of be in the spiritual drought because we're in disobedience to him. And so we want to obey the Lord completely, as Christ is our example, as I read this morning in Philippians, that he humbled himself and was obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He was completely obedient to the Lord, perfectly obedient, and that he came and died for us and did the hardest thing that anyone could do, went through all the sins of the world were laid on him, and he was still perfectly obedient to the Father. And so we want to be completely obedient to the Lord, and we will be able to enjoy the blessings that he's promised us. And the other thing that we see from Abraham is just the long suffering and the mercy and patience of the Lord. As we see that he was patient with Abraham, and Abraham kind of took his time at first in obeying the Lord, but we see that he learned from his mistakes later. When the Lord tells him to do things, we often see that he rises early in the morning. The first thing, he's not wasting any time, but first thing, he's getting up and he's obeying what the Lord told him to do. And so he learned from his mistakes, and he was obedient to the Lord, and we see that his obedience was accounted to him as righteousness, and the Lord blessed him very much as he was obedient to the Lord. So our time's pretty much up, but that's just what I was looking at with Abraham. I think that was a lot to learn from. It's kind of encouraging to me to see faults in people like Abraham, who are so great, because it reminds us that they are people just like we are, and he's not any different, but he has the same sin nature that we do, but yet he learned obedience to the Lord, and his faith was in God nonetheless, and even in his mistakes and his fallings, he still had faith in God, and he always came and turned to the Lord and was obedient to him. And the Lord blessed him and used him very much. I see all the world is blessed through him because from his seed came the Lord Jesus Christ, and our salvation. And just an encouragement, and I hope it's encouraging to all of y'all to be obedient to the Lord and to be looking towards the kingdom of the Lord, not dwelling and trying to make this earth our home, but looking forward, as Abraham did, to the city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for all that, how you've given it to us to study, to learn more about you. Thank you for Abraham and his obedience to you, and that we can learn from him and from his mistakes. And I just pray that you'd help us to apply these things to our lives, that we would draw closer to you, and that we would be live in obedience to what you have called us to do, that your calling you have is personal to each and every one of us, that you have a job for us to do, and that we would be looking to you and serving you. And I pray that that we would not be focused on this world and trying to make ourselves comfortable here and making this our home, but that we would be looking ahead to the kingdom of God, that and what you have promised us in eternity, that we will live with you forever. And I thank you for that. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is perfectly obedient to you in every way, and that he was obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, that he would shed his blood for us, that you would pour your wrath out on him for our sin, and that it is through his blood that we can come to you, and that we can have a fellowship with you. And I'm just thankful for the great salvation that we have through him. And I thank you for the love that you have for us. And just help us to think on you and to put you in the center of our thoughts and our lives. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.